Hallelujah. Christ is risen. We come to this time after Easter, and the Gospels give us a view from the Good Shepherd Discourse. And now, what really astounds me about this Good Shepherd Discourse is we are a people who live in a post-industrial society, and still we gravitate toward these Old and New Testament images of sheep and shepherding. But like I said, we're a people who are very far removed from sheep and shepherding. So far removed that it's extremely difficult even to find a good cut of lamb for your Easter table because it's not really on the menu that much anymore. And yet, we gravitate toward these images that captivated the attention of the Hebrew, literally the Hebrew, the landless people who went from place to place carrying all of their possessions with them and having their wealth on the hoof, their wealth being sheep and goats who traveled with the caravan. Now, what that means is over time, we have sentimentalized the image of the Good Shepherd. In fact, if you have an image of the Good Shepherd in your mind right now, it's probably that very famous painting of a very effeminate Jesus holding in his left hand a cute and cuddly and very obedient lamb who is white and spotless, and in his right hand, he has, of course, the shepherd's hook. That's the one I think of, because I saw that when I was a young child. It was a picture that was on my wall in my room. It was a picture that was in the illustrated children's Bible. It was a picture that we saw at church. But the Good Shepherd image that is given to us in the Gospel according to John is a little more vital, is a little more brusque. Because I can tell you, from growing up a mile away from a sheep farm, that sheep are anything but obedient and cuddly. In fact, if you know sheep and have spent time around sheep, you'll know that sheep are not clean, and that when it rains, sheep have a certain very pungent odor. You also know, if you spend time around sheep, that they are genetically hardwired to follow other sheep, and more often than not, one sheep will wander away, and before long, if you're not attentive, half of the flock is gone, generally into mortal danger. You also know, and I know this personally from having a father who was a shepherd with his brothers in the high alpine meadows following the Second World War, shepherds aren't exactly as effeminate as we would like them to leave. In fact, they're people who are very rough around the edges because they have a very difficult job. That staff that they carry is not merely a walking stick. That staff is also a club. You need it to protect yourself and your sheep from people who will steal part of the flock and from wolves and other predators who are there to predate the sheep. So the Gospel of John gives us this image of the Good Shepherd. But in the background, the Good Shepherd images that are there are taken from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, from Ezekiel, and also from a strange prophet, the prophet of Enoch. And they're images that paint the Good Shepherd as King David, who himself was a warrior shepherd, as one who sought to protect the weak in his midst, who sought to lead the community into God's fullness and into God's grace, a hope-filled future, even in times that were uncertain and violent, a shepherd who himself was rather dynamic. And so Jesus tells this discourse right after getting into a fight with the Pharisees. Jesus heals a man born blind. There's a big dispute and a hullabaloo in the community about what this really means and was this man really healed. And before long, the Pharisees come to see it not as an inbreaking of the kingdom of God through Jesus, but rather as a sign of Jesus' demonic origin. They try to steal Jesus' followers away from them, from Jesus. And in the meantime, Jesus and the man born blind who is now healed make the Pharisees the butt of the joke. And it all goes south from there, and Jesus begins the I am the Good Shepherd discourse, in which he says in the beginning, look, I know those border towns with their established sheepfolds. Remember, I'm from Galilee. And in those border towns, there's a sheepfold made out of rocks like a U, and there is a lockable gate. The shepherd enters by the gate because the shepherd is legitimate. But the illegitimate ones come, and they try to steal the sheep over the sides. the illegitimate ones like the Pharisees. I am that gate. And he goes on to say, and we have this part today, I am the good shepherd. The sheep know me. They hear my voice. I know them, for I have called them. I am the good shepherd. I am not like the hired hand who at the sight of the wolf will run, but rather I will lay my life down for the life of the sheep. For the Father has given it to me, and I may lay it down and pick it up again. A reference to the resurrection in this time of Easter. And so we have this beautiful, beautiful discourse that tells us today in the midst of this Easter season that not only is our God the crucified and risen one who dies and rises for our sake, but our God is also the one who protects us and guides us and leads us, even in the midst of times that are uncertain and challenging. So may we give thanks to God for the presence of the Good Shepherd in our midst. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.